Hello, this is Martha Novak with Real Talk with Martha Novak, our show today. I was laughing because I leaned over to turn on Facebook Live. We're broadcast, by the way, over Facebook Live and Blog Talk Radio, and it immediately froze. In a very unattractive position. So I have to laugh at myself, huh? Today's show, guys, is about creativity and creative thinking and what it's all about. One of my favorite subjects. I happen to be teaching a class on it right now, so I thought, well, I'll just pull some points out from that class and bring them over here. So anyway, I hope you are having a good day and a good laugh at yourself too, because this is just a silly world. It just is. Anyway, I'm glad to be with you and to talk about such an important subject, by the way. Before I launch into anything, and I see you're already clicking on, hello, darling. I'm so glad to see you with us today. For those of you that are on Blog Talk Radio, I'm talking to people on Facebook Live who are writing in and who have something to say to me, either a question or a comment. And by the way, if you want to talk with me, this number gets you on the air, is at 347-850-1647. Anyway, here we go with creativity and creative thinking and ways to boost it and why it's so important, huh? All right. Let's do a quick prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for the opportunity to be together under the banner of knowing more about ourselves, because you are all we are. And as we know about ourselves, we know about you. As we become more trustworthy to ourselves, you become more real and trustworthy to us as well. So we are opening ourselves to the next levels of that in all of us as we open to creativity and find the joy of this in life, because this is a creative world. We thank you so much. Now, we're going to ask that you engender in us that we know nothing. Keep us safe and less afraid as we just for 90 minutes say we know nothing. So it is the you through us and through all things that know more than we do. And we ask to listen to that part of us so that we will know the next step or steps to take to incorporate this more in our lives and be more fulfilled and happy. So we thank you so much. We gladly say we know nothing. We are very grateful, dear God, for it all. And we say this in your name, in the name of the Ascended Masters, our love-centered guides and friends, and in the name of each and every person listening to this show. And so it is. Good. So I found a couple of articles. I must say I like the second one better than the first one. Again, keep in mind that I love to pull articles and work from them, but, you know, there are not a lot of articles out there on what we do on deeper levels of consciousness, right? Hi, Becky. Oh, hello, darling. People don't know what we mean when we talk about when a discussion like this is broached. And we use the word consciousness in a lot of different terms. Science uses it for one thing. I use it for another. I mean, all of life is, you know, we have some degree of consciousness, don't we? But there's a journey to take here, and a journey to deeper levels of self and who you really are and authenticity. And guys, I do want to put on the table that creativity is a big part of that, because all of this life is creative. But so many people, and here, I guess I ought to give you a little background here, because it's one of my favorite subjects to talk about and to teach. I came from a very, good morning, Becky, and good morning, Jay. Yeah, Jay is wishing us all a creative morning, absolutely. We'll have a lot of fun talking about this. I came from a very wacky family, a creative family. My uncle was a doctor, but he was also a concert pianist and a writer, and he was just all over the place. My cousin was a brilliant mind. All of these people, by the way, are now dead. My mother was a singer. My grandmother was an actor at one point. The only one that didn't do anything like this was my dad, but he expressed his creativity in building things and doing things like that, even though he was a CPA. Now, the reason I'm telling you that is that I have seen the gamut, or at least my version of the gamut of creativity, to having no creativity. First of all, I want to put on the table that everybody's creative. It's just a tool that some people pick up and some people don't. And in my practice, I see a lot of people whose family absolutely squelched creativity. That's a whole nother show, and I can certainly do it. Where what do parents do to squelch creativity? One of them I saw this week, as a matter of fact, was a lovely woman who just was so enthusiastic about having children that every time the child tried something, the mother jumped in there to share it with her, but the mother always did it better, didn't she? You see? So the child thought she couldn't do anything and buried it. I see families that are very harsh. And in their harshness, they don't foster any kind of creativity in their child because they themselves never had that fostered. It's not valued in some homes. Well, that's neither here nor there, because let me tell you that all creativity, whether it is innate or whether it is acquired, is the same thing. I have come from a creative environment, but you always, as a creative, fight a fixed mindset about anything. It's called functional fixedness. I love that term. And what I mean is you have your mind work a certain way, and it defaults to being in a box. And you're constantly having to do exercises, you do things that stimulate you outside the box. Jay just sent us an Albert Einstein quote, which I love that, is the true sign of intelligence. It's not knowledge, but imagination. Isn't that true? It really is. You know, and I, as a matter of fact, I at some point in this, talk about Einstein, because Einstein... You know, what is creativity? Let's talk about what creativity really is. And I wrote something here, if I can find what I wrote, because it was in the body of the piece. Let's hope that I can put my hand on it. Okay, here it is. This is creativity to me, okay? And while it isn't an exact definition, this gives you an idea of what I'm thinking about. There really are no new ideas in the world. There aren't. I don't think there are. I mean, there's new technology coming in and all that kind of new stuff, but it's built on old stuff. There's really nothing new in the world, but there are infinite variations and combinations of these old ones. And that's creativity, because you don't want to be so far out that nobody understands what you say. You want to have certain familiarity, but do something completely different with it. You understand? And I think those are the most powerful creative opportunities and ideas that humankind really has, because we can't just jump forward hundreds of years. We have to stay in the here and now and make this viable and go forward with what we know. The deeper creativity that we all seek is in us. Nobody gives it to us. It's already in you. It's already in you. You may have been trained out of it. You may have buried it deeply. As a client of mine said yesterday, she said, I asked myself if I was an endless resource, and I said, yes, but, because I didn't want people to see it, because she had a family that took everything away from her. So why would she display that, you see? She does it privately, and she's marvelous, by the way, at what she does. But we're hoping in class we can have her take more of a chance on being very, very visible, because her art is fabulous. Now this, when I talk about creativity, I am absolutely not talking about the arts. Because where I'm coming from is that all of life is creative, and there's a creative aspect to everything. If you're slogging through work, you know, what are the creative aspects of everything? There was a woman that came to me who hated her job. She was with a big corporation. She absolutely hated it. And I said, well, you know, if you go in every day and you indulge in the hatred of this place, we can't create anything new from that, because you're already in such lack, because you feel sorry for yourself, you hate this place, everybody's stupid but you, et cetera, et cetera. You get my drift. I said, isn't there one thing that you like about this place that you think is beautiful or lovely or that you marvel at? Isn't there anything? And she had this kind of light bulb go on over her head, and she said, yes. She said, it's the most beautiful architecture I've ever seen, and the lobby is magnificent. She said, I'd like my house to look like that. And I said, well, can you put more energy into that than into your hatred of this place? Because we've got to create something else. We've got to create a more positive framework. Can you go down and do some of your work in the lobby so you can get out of your office? That was a huge revelation to her. She says, indeed, I can do that. I said, then do that, for God's sake. Who says, who requires that you have to sit in your cubicle all day? Nobody should. That's not how you're going to do your best work and your most creative work and to have different ideas out of the box, you see? And I'm happy to say that within, I think it was about 2 or 3 weeks after that, she got a new job. Yeah? Good. Okay. So we're going to suggest some things that are rather out of the box for you today. I have a feeling we'll probably do this next week as well, because I've got a lot to say about the subject. The thing I want you to take away from just this opening that we're seeing right now is that no matter what you think your skill level is in terms of creativity, it's much, much more. You're nothing but creativity, okay? Well, you are a lot more than that. But the whole life experience is enormously creative. This world is very creative. And there's a way to introduce creativity into everything. I was delighted yesterday because one of my clients, whom I just adore, who's made incredible strides, finds this class on creativity that I'm teaching my advanced students very challenging, because she came from one of those environments where her mother squelched the whole thing. Oh, I love that quote, Jay. Thank you. This is another Einstein quote. Creativity is intelligence having fun. Yes, I love that. Thank you, Jay. That's just great. Anyway, yesterday in class, and as I said, she's finding the class quite challenging, she said it dawned on her that every single thing, all of life, is creative. And it's true. If we are not seeing it, we're just not seeing what we need to see yet. That's all. But in awareness, it opens up more and more. Now, one of the things before we go into the actual material that I'd like to talk about is why you should want to be more creative, why you should, it should be a lifelong quest to deepen this part of you. And for that, then we have to address the two minds, because the ego child's mind, creative in its way, and the higher self mind, always created as an endless resource of God, do things, they're motivated by two different things. So the creative mind in the ego child's mind wants to be seen, wants to be valuable, possibly wants to be famous, wants to get attention, needs a distraction from its problems, and many, many other things like that. In other words, very self-involved, all about the self, all about something lacking in the self that you're trying to make up for. So creativity and creative ideas and implementations are sometimes an overcompensation in some way for something lacking. And that's a shame, because, you know, you can do better than that, in truth. And it's important to acknowledge that it's there, because that's the energy of what it transforms into in the highest self when you do some work on yourself. So what is that? The highest self, the highest mind, finds great fulfillment in creativity. It's playing in the fields of your potential. It leaves you happy and gratified because you're using the authentic self. It's a way to really contact that part of you, even though you're struggling in other aspects, with the divine. It's the most amazing thing. This is the flow state. This is when you lose all time and you just go into this and you just write for 18 hours and it's wonderful. Or you paint or you act or you... And you are having this incredible experience. The flow state is what I train you to, because the other name for it is the peak performance state. Now, peak performance is one of those things that's thrown around idly, okay? It really is. And it's kind of like one of those words like consciousness. What the hell does it mean? But let me tell you, it is a real thing. It's part of you now, even though you might not have ever reached it. And if you want to hear all about this, which is a big part of creativity, but it's the energy that creativity comes through on, please get that download on my website called the It Series. The It Series, and the reason I named it the It Series is agents always said, send me somebody with it. Right? Well, what is it, I would say? And they'd go, I don't know, but I'll recognize it when it walks in the door. Guys, I'm going to tell you exactly what it is. It's a use and how to use your energy so that you have it. So you're one of those people that they go, wow, you know? So you're the one in the room that's seen. It's a natural part of you. It isn't motivated by the ego child's mind. It isn't motivated because I need to be seen. You just are seen, because you're using this highest self energy. It's very much a part of you, just like the ego child's mind is. But do you realize that I think the world sometimes gets so confused because they don't have this information, and they're invisible when they should be visible, and they're invisible when they should be visible. They're visible when they're sitting on the couch with their cat. Come on. Come on. This is about conscious training and getting yourself into your potential. That's what all this is about. So it has a lot to say to you. Highest mind creativity is about sharing. It's about expressing yourself. It's about contributing your ideas. It's not about making sure everybody else thinks the way you do. It's simply a beautiful and very caring expression of self. That's what it is. Jay has written. He said, quite a few years ago, I came across this quote from Albert Einstein. I believe the story is a colleague asked him for his phone number, and Einstein reached for his phone directory to look it up. You don't remember your own number, the man asked, startled. No, Einstein answered. Why should I memorize something I can so easily get from a book? Wow. That's the creative mind for you, isn't it? It is. It is. Thank you, Jay, for sharing that. That's just darling. It's wonderful. I carry some of those things in me as well that have meant something to me. I remember one, and I'm a little off the subject, but we're in the creative arena. Dustin Hoffman, method actor, was doing, The Voice from Brazil? No. Well, anyway, whatever the method, the movie he was doing with Laurence Olivier. Laurence Olivier was an actor, but not a method actor, right? Method acting is immersing yourself in the real situation in many times. And I'm not a method actor either. I don't believe in doing that. I don't believe in gaining 50 pounds and losing 50 pounds. It's bad for your body. And in this case, Dustin Hoffman, who was supposed to, in this scene, be tortured by that old Nazi, Laurence Olivier, who was a dentist, I believe, and, you know, drilled his teeth and hurt his nerves and everything. Well, he didn't let him, Hoffman in the movie, the character, sleep for 3 days, and then he did these tortures on him. So Dustin Hoffman hired somebody to keep him awake, and he came to the set like that, ready to do the scene, right? He and Laurence Olivier got into a discussion, and Laurence Olivier, I love this, said, but son, why don't you just act? Which I thought was hilarious. It's kind of like that, you know? Why don't you just act, do what you're supposed to do. Okay. I think that we're ready to dive in with one more thing I want to put on the table, and that is this. I think in allowing yourself to be creative in all these different ways I'm going to present to you, there is freedom. There's freedom. And I think if we talk about freedom, the freedom to be the authentic self, we are talking about a big portion of that is creativity. You can't do anything wrong, you see, when you're being creative. You really can't. And it's what I told my class. Let's just play here and let our minds run past our limitations. Let us get out of the box in all these ways I'm going to present. Because for heaven's sakes, guys, let's find who you really are and what you have to express here and be free. This is the one place you can be free without restrictions in the creative areas, you see? No mother is or father is standing over you saying you're no good because you didn't draw within the lines. I say, for God's sake, draw outside the lines. See where it takes you, right? I could never draw inside the lines anyway. I was never very good at that. Okay. Creativity is something that you can cultivate, and it can be developed and with a little practice, and it also can be deepened even if you think you're the most creative person in the world. I just think that's something that I'm always working on and looking at. It's not that I'm out there seeking it. I'm just doing all the things that I'm going to suggest to you. And that turns you on, you know. I'm going to tell you about something called the spaghetti technique in a little while. I think it'll be fun. Joy said, most people don't want freedom. They want to be controlled. It's easier than having an independent mind, and I think so. I think you're right. And as a matter of fact, this came up in my class. One of my men said, I used to be very creative when I was a child, but at some point I lost it. And I said, I think you probably lost it when you were in a preteen and teenager, because you care more about fitting in at that point than you do developing your creative mind, you see? And it's just true. My mother was a marvelous French speaker. She was fabulous. And so she and I talked French when I was little. And at one point, when I realized that I was different from other people talking French, and this happened actually in grammar school, I didn't want to do that anymore. Now, I had to go back and pick it up as an adult, and not as well, by the way. I should have spoken French with her when I was a child. Anyway. There are some people that are not curious. That hasn't been developed. But this creativity that we're talking about requires you to be curious. It requires you to be present and to explore and to discover and to listen to other people's ideas and to express your own. I think when we're trying to turn you on, it's a little different from somebody that's been in the creative field for a while. Because I think when we're trying to turn the creativity on in people, the more ideas, the better. It's interesting because in my community, there are a lot of writing groups, and of course I'm a writer. And I love that's here. And I'm certainly, you know, a member of one of them, and probably will go to another. But here's the thing. Excuse me, my nose tends to run this time of year in the cold. So there we are, if you see me doing that. Here's the thing. They send out prompts. Do you know what I mean by prompt? Prompt is write a little short story about the first time you went to the dentist as a child. Write a little short story about this, that. I never do that. Those prompts. I've been working in the creative field for a long time, and I've got my projects. I like to write books. And so what I tend to do is I'll take a page or two in of my books to read, but I don't do their prompts. Their prompts are not inspiring to me, but my idea that I've had always is. And I'm always looking for new ideas. I read the newspaper. I scour for stories. I talk to my friends and strangers. I am always open to the next idea that comes along. And one of them strikes, you know. In this book that I'm editing, that I'm working on right now, that I think this is one of my last edits, the beginning was not exciting. And it was really interesting. I took a course recently that said you're competing, that the industry, the writing industry, and I'm not trying to make you writers, but this is about creativity. But I know about writing. Anyway, they said the industry is so different than it's ever been. So I can't model on a writer like Daphne du Maurier. As a matter of fact, I don't even think Charles Dickens would be published these days. Too much description of everything. Now, do I love it? Absolutely. Do I love all this old stuff? Absolutely. I love these things. But you're competing as a writer these days with television, with radio, with your tablet, with the internet, with your friends, with phone calls, with texts and emails and everything else. It is a different world. This business is different than it's ever been. So you have to write the way people are writing now in the last 2 years, and that is murder somebody right in the first few pages, make it exciting, hook them, and then tell the rest of your story. and keep, by the way, that excitement going. Isn't that interesting? So where does that leave the old issue? Oh, I should have started 20 years ago. I should have started 40 years ago. Blows it right out of the water. Because what you will have written back then is not valid now. The world has changed. So it is a world that has to catch you right away. So now is the most fertile time, and I say that with everything, the whole, you know, whatever your creativity is going to be, whether it's in business or whether it is in the arts, it's a different world. You just got to learn to negotiate with your creativity now in a brand new way. So with that said, I found a really good article. I'll come back to this one, but I found a really good article called How to Increase Creativity. This article is by, it says it was co-authored by Dan Klein. I don't know who the other author is, though. My deep apologies. But if you all look up How to Increase Creativity by Dan Klein, there probably will be another name there that for some reason did not print out on my sheet. Okay. Darlings, creativity can't really be measured. You know, everybody is creative in our way. People that are, I listened to that Netflix show on Bernie Madoff. He was creative, right? In a completely different way than I would ever be, and most people would ever be, thank God. But that's a form of creativity. He just didn't use it to enhance and help people. ChatGPT. You know, Jay, I don't even know what that is. I'm so funny about all this. He said, it will stifle creativity. I think a lot of things. I think being on social media all the time, you know, stifles creativity. I think a lot of things out there do. As a matter of fact, next week, why don't I talk about some of the things that you probably had in your childhood to stifle creativity, okay? All right. So, moving right along. So, this is a something in you that can be deepened for a long, long time. I mean, how creative can you be, right? So, let's just talk about a lot of ways to increase creativity. One of them is to... Here's a real important one. It smacks in the face of what I was saying that we all felt when we wanted to fit in. Now, at this point in your life, allow yourself to be different. Allow yourself to be different. You see, at one point, it was very important that we all belonged. And it's still important that we have the respect and love the people that we choose to have it from. But this isn't about the little child running around trying to belong anymore by being just like everybody else. You're here as a unique being. You are. You are your life experiences, your imagination, what you think, feel, say, and do are completely different than other people. You've developed a certain way. We will all be developing for the rest of our lives and deepening what we know, or maybe even what we've never allowed ourselves to know. Hello, Michelle. Michelle said, I don't care if I fit in. It's so freeing. There are so many followers. Yeah, isn't that the truth? And Jay says, is there a difference between creativity and critical thinking? Oh, man, Jay, that's a great question. Yes. There is. I think that critical thinking questions what is. This is just off the top of my head. And creativity might question what isn't yet. You know, it is how can I use this differently? That's certainly Einstein, isn't it? You quoted Einstein earlier. He took the existing knowledge. He didn't go from scratch and he went, why do I have to think that way? What could I do with this? What's a different perspective? What's another idea of a way of thinking about this? That's a creative idea. You know, and I also heard something years ago, and my husband laughs at this because I'm a little messier than he is, but I heard a quote that said, genius is bringing ideas out of chaos. And he says, I take that a little too literally. Excuse me, I'm falling off my chair, so I've got a pillow down there so you can see me, because Michael says a lot of times all you can see are my eyes. But anyway, I think that there is a certain amount of chaos. It always doesn't feel good. When I'm looking for my next writing project, that's the time that I get, you know, restless. I wouldn't say anxious. I want you all to know the difference in yourself. If you're going to be creative, there's a restlessness. Anxiety is going to shut you down. Yeah. So there's a difference here, okay? And we're trying to open up creativity. So that restlessness of saying, okay, God, send me an idea, is amazing, because God always does send you an idea from the inside out, sometimes from the outside. Because the other day I was, you know, working over these first 10 pages that were not exciting enough, and I said, you know, what would hook people immediately? What, you know, what? Where's an idea? And I was just kind of brainstorming with my husband, and he mentioned something, and all of a sudden I saw it in my mind's eye and how it went down, and just said, ah, thank you so much. Got immediately up from the breakfast table and came in here and started writing it. Loads of fun, you know, and certainly more exciting. Okay. More of what I think the market requires these days. Now, this article by Dan Klein goes on to say, it's fine to be different. It's fine to be your version, by the way, of normal. You see, we say, what's normal, right? We're so worried about not being normal. And here's the thing. Normal isn't a box. Normal is a range. And it's based on who you are authentically, you know? It's a range. So do we use the whole stage or not? Do we draw outside the lines or not? Do we, what are we going to do with it? Years ago, I think I was in high school when this happened. And I had a great drama teacher in high school. He used to be a singer for the Met. He had a beautiful baritone voice. He's semi-retired by the time he got to teaching me. And I remember he gave me my first opportunity to direct a small scene. And I placed it over around a table and over to the side of the stage. And his advice to me, I've never forgotten. He said, here's a piece of advice. Use the whole stage. It meant so much to me because it wasn't about that silly little scene. It was about my life. He was giving me information about my life. Use the whole stage. Push out the limits. Use the whole stage. Use everything you've got in you. Now, a lot of times we don't know what we have in us when we're just starting this journey. So the journey is to find out so you can use the whole stage. And in that, great fulfillment, you see? Why was I not using the whole stage? Well, I didn't know that. And the second thing was fear. I wanted to be good. I was doing this. I was directing for the wrong reasons. I was directing for, you know, to have somebody brag on how good that was, that little scene. That's not a good enough reason to be creative. That's where we all start as ego child's mind, don't we? That's not where we stay. Okay, going back to the article. He said, creative thinking is about being outside the box. Let go of any notions that your ideas will be graded or considered right and wrong. And the biggest culprit there is you. Nobody has a right to say anything is right or wrong or good or bad. Well, I'm going to tell you right now that the first time you start writing, now this is me, my first draft is always crap. But it needs to get down there on the page so I can see where the story's going. And the first draft is always about story. Second draft is usually about character and adding more. All right, third draft and fourth draft is about the intricacies, and let me tell you, they're intricacies, of editing, taking out all the extraneous words, being redundant, throw that in the trash can, showing and not telling. So I can say, what I mean by that, let me tell you. So I can say, damn, John said angrily. That's considered bad writing because of the adverb angrily. Showing is to slam his fist on the table. And so it becomes, damn, said John, slamming his fist on the table. That's better writing, you see? There's so much to learn about all of this and about the creative mind itself. So you sit here and you go, oh, damn, there's an adverb that's stuck in there. And I've got to sit here and go, what's he really feeling? I have to feel it through my body and then come up with a gesture or something that he does to express that, you see? Just a little insight into the writing process, anyway. Here's something, too, about this I want to put on the table. Depending on your background and what all of our issues are, because everybody's got them, you might need to learn that you're safe expressing yourself. So I want to say one of the ways you'll prove to yourself that you're safe expressing yourself is to do some of these exercises. And by the way, don't just listen to me and the exercises I'm going to suggest to you. Actually go and get on the internet under creativity. There are just scads of exercises you can do by yourself. You don't even have to have someone involved right away. And that's a really good way to start the process, you see. Give yourself permission. One other point, and you've heard me say this almost every radio show. Guys, there are just no enlightened traditionalists. If you're going to do the same thing over and over again, if you're going to write the same way everybody else does, if you're going to say express the same ideas over and over, of the tell the same story in the same way, it's not creative, you know? Certainly, there's only one Beethoven Fifth, dot, 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 dot. But there are thousands of interpretations of it. And that's creativity. You get it? This is about using that part of you. Okay. His second point in this article, How to Increase Creativity by Dan Klein, and the unknown that I didn't write down, so sorry, is number two. He says, take time every day to be creative. I'm going to put it a different way. Wake up to all the creativity that's around you. See it everywhere. You're being very creative when you answer somebody when they say, how are you feeling? As long as you just don't say, fine, every time, right? This is a creative world. We're dialoguing creatively all the time. This is improvisation. This is improvisation. Every day is a creative day. I found an article that said the most creative people are bored. I don't like that article. I didn't like that the way they said that. But they said, you know, they tested people that are depressed or that are relaxed or that are distressed, and they found that boredom was more creative. They had better ideas. Oh, they tested on whatever their criteria of test was. I don't I've never been bored in my life, and I suggest you don't be either. There are some ideas you'll use and some ideas you won't use, and you just let them pass through, but you don't judge them. And boredom is about a lack. Now, what they were saying is boredom can create a state where you're open, but why not just be open without the boredom? You get it? Why not just be restless and know that something's bubbling up and something you should get? It's right here. It's within you. It's what you're seeing. Something's going to trigger something. And you just can't wait for that to come. This is very exciting. That's the anticipatory energy that you need for the idea to come in. But not the desperation. Not the laissez-faire, I'm bored to death with all of life and what is there to excite me. I don't buy that. And I think that we've got to be much more, precise with our words to describe us and what we're feeling and the states we're in. Going on with his idea that every day is a creative day, that's my idea, take time every day to be creative. Creativity, he says, is not simply innate. It is something that you learn and train for every day. It is, but not in the way that you think. This does not require you sitting down in front of a blank page or a blank canvas or something and being creative. This is about you getting in a creative state to begin with, and that creative state, by the way, is high energy. It is not low energy. What I want to put on the table right now is if you are thinking about being creative and thinking about ideas, thinking is the lowest energy you've got. Do you realize that? We'd all love to think, but thinking is the lowest energy you've got. That's why getting up and walking around and everything inspires you to be more creative, because the creativity is not in your brain. That's just one of the places it sits. It's in every cell of your body. Creativity is in this peak performance experience, and that is energy with every cell of the body. I hope you can see that I'm pointing it out right now, as I pointed out, that I'm talking to you not with my brain. My brain is just part of the equation, but every ounce of me, pardon me, is talking to you. You can't see my legs, and they're not wobbling, but they're turned on. We're all, every cell, I mean by we, is here, doing my job, talking about something I love, creativity. I can't talk about creativity without being in the creative state. We can't create without being in the creative state. The ideas are lesser in the ego child's mind. You'll still have ideas, but again, you're limited because of your wanting an outcome. I want to be better thought of. I want to have respect. I want people to think I'm a great writer, a great painter, a great this, a great that. I want people to know my ideas are valid. I say, forget it. That's a place to start. Start writing. Start doing things. Work on yourself creatively. Find that flow state, which is going to happen ultimately, particularly if you're in the energy in which the flow state can happen. You see how it works? That's when you get turned on. That's when your work is inspired. Okay. He goes on to say, no novelist, painter, filmmaker, or musician ever made a career by simply sitting down and letting the ideas flow. Yes, I was talking to one of my friends last night who is just dabbling in some sort of writing. I'm crazy about her. She's just wonderful. And she said, I just don't know what to write about. I'm just... And I want to sit down with her now at a later time. This was a dinner party and not really appropriate. And say, look around. Something is going to inspire you. I saw for this next book I'm going to write, I've already got the idea for it. Yay! Because otherwise you'd be getting a different restlessness from me. I saw an idea in the newspaper that was an old news story. Now I don't want to write about something that other people are writing about. That's an old news story, right? But it bothered me. You know, it's like a burr under the saddle, this restlessness. And so at one point I turned to my darling husband and I said, I can't get this news story out of my mind. What happened to this child? And he said, oh, he probably did this. And all of a sudden, again, it was like the lead to this book that I'm writing right now. It was like I saw the whole thing. And the whole rest of the book started unfolding from that. I just made some notes on it. You know, I like to know where I'm going, you know, which, by the way, will change a million times. The interesting thing about taking the creative aspect is there often isn't any outcome at all. You're discovering it as you go, the outcome. That's what people say by the painting painted itself, the writing wrote itself. It's like it exists somewhere else in the flow state, and you're just tapping into it, and it's the fun part. The editing is the hard part, I'm going to tell you right now. The being meticulous about it and the business itself, that's the hard part. The coming up with the ideas and the imagination, oh my God, it's so addictive, it's so fun. People often say to me that they have painter's block, writer's block, they don't have any creative ideas, they can't think of anything. And almost inevitably, here's what's going on. Here's the secret, because I don't believe in writer's block or any of these other blocks. I think two things can be happening. You have an issue that keeps you limited, or issues that we have to find. And your energy is going there into other than into what you want. You see, it's just an investment of energy, isn't it? I can fear failure, all right, so that goes that way energetically, but if I want to write a book, I want the energy to go that way, so I've got to find this and resolve this issue, you see? So it's always important to work on ourselves. Okay. The second thing that I most often feel, if it is not, if it isn't about an issue, the second thing often is that you don't have enough input. You haven't seen enough, heard enough about life, heard other people's stories. It's input all the time. We should have input. And this is, I was going to tell you about the spaghetti. I call it the spaghetti. Exercise. You input without trying to remember anything. You just input. You watch TV, you listen to the radio, you read the news, you talk to friends. I love Pat Conroy, who is a marvelous writer. He's not with us anymore, but he's one of my favorite writers. And he would always go up to people and say, tell me a story. Yeah, one of those stories will stick. Like my husband said, this is what happened. He probably did this. And it's like, holy crap, I hadn't thought of that. And there you go. All you need is one good idea, right, that inspires you enough to run with it. So if you can't think of anything, input more. And the reason I call it the spaghetti experience is because I always think of it just like I just input, don't hold on to anything, don't judge anything. It's like throwing a plate of spaghetti against the wall, and when it falls off, there are a few pieces left, and there's some color, and all of a sudden, that's what I use. And it has nothing to do with anything else. I've used it in a very creative way. It's different, okay? So sometimes you just need more input. Of what kind? Of any nature, anything. I happen to love writing mystery thrillers these days. So I input a lot of mystery thrillers, but that doesn't mean I don't read the news story about the cosmos expanding or this or that. Input, just input. It's all a color, a spaghetti strand on the wall that you may use later. your imagination will use it in a different way. It'll bring it around. You see? Okay. Very interesting. Okay. He says, take 20 minutes a day to work on your craft. This is such a good article, but I don't agree with that. I think a lot of this is based on you and your sensitivity to yourself. We certainly need to address if we have any blocks. And Ray has said the downfall of creativity, he says the downfall of creativity stems from a privileged society. Yes and no to that. There was a book, The Courage to Create. I think it was Eric Fromm, written a number of years ago. And it isn't privilege, and it isn't the lack of any privilege. It isn't poverty that creates the creative state. It is both. It's the whole life experience. He said, the restlessness often comes from my trying to make it good again. You see? Isn't that interesting? So, guys, whatever you are, it's a creative soup that you should learn how to use and expand. He also says the child's ego mind is the block, and it is true. It's the ego child's mind that contains the issues that stand in your way. But it also contains the information, because you're not going to just write a book about enlightened people. How boring would that be? You're going to write a book about anything if you're a writer. You're going to paint anything you want. You're going to, you know, this is about the good and the bad and whatever. What you want to express. So it isn't just about sitting down and 20 minutes a day doing something. I say sometimes I feel like writing, and sometimes I damn well don't feel like writing. Some days I feel like editing. Sometimes I feel like observing. Sometimes I feel like watching television all day. Sometimes I feel like reading nothing but books. Sometimes I feel like going for a walk. Sometimes all of these things are part of creativity. I have a client that sometimes it's, and Alex Murdaugh can write a good murder mystery. Michelle, you're absolutely right. He's one of my favorite writers, too. Guys, this is all based in knowing yourself and knowing what you need at the time. Okay? I think when you're first starting, it's marvelous to sit down. There was a marvelous book that came out a number of years ago called The Artist's Way. She said, sit down in the morning and write some pages. And I think that's a marvelous idea when you're first trying to turn yourself on. That's a great idea. But I wouldn't do it if I don't feel like it. You know? You've got to... But if you're also in fantasy and saying, well, I will do it when I feel like it, because Martha says I shouldn't do it if I don't feel like it, and I don't feel like it, you need to find out why you don't feel like it. It just might be a day that you're a better editor than a writer. Yes, indeed. And it might be that you're avoiding. It might be that you like fantasy more than reality. So you'll keep it in the fantasy world, and there you can win an Academy Award for your acting without ever acting, you see. Guys, this is about being real, okay? This is about being real. In keeping with what he says about being creative every day, certainly I think we ought to take classes. I don't think we should ever be too big for our britches and say, you know, I know it all. That's ridiculous. I've been writing my whole life, really. And, man, I've learned more in the last several years, writing a book and making all the mistakes in the world, this kind of book, I've made every mistake there is. I've read then books about what I've done, and I've gone back and I've tried to correct, create things. My first book was pretty much dribble. It's not out yet, so you won't read that. Second book is much, much better. The spaghetti against the wall technique. Guys, it is so important. Just throw it in there and let's see what happens. Okay? One idea is all you need, and then you go, oh my God, and you start seeing pictures in your mind and you're ready to go. Curiosity is a big part of this too. And he so says, look up anything you don't know, for God's sake. Read books, learn skills that have always interested in you, that you've always been interested in. Strike up conversations with people. Ask them to tell you stories. Listen to dinner party conversations. The more material you have, the more input you've received, the better creative connections you can make in your life. Yeah. Tell me a story. The next idea he has is number 4, get enough rest, food, and water. Yeah, okay. I'm going to take that a little further. Again, we need for you to know the seasons of you. To everything there is a season, right? Okay. So is today, this hour, the season to edit, to write, to input, to do nothing, to go for a walk, to play with your dog? What is today about? Some people work better under pressure. Some people don't work under pressure. You can always self-impose a deadline on yourself. But if you're self-imposing a deadline on yourself that is impractical because you are not that yet there to be that free and be that creative, you've just limited yourself tremendously. You see? You've got to know how to work with a creative mind, and that does imply that you must know yourself pretty well. And you've got to be emotionally honest with yourself about why you are doing something or not doing something, you see. Now, going back to his point, get enough rest, food, and water. Yeah. You actually do need water. And your body, as you get older, will tell you when you are dehydrated and give you anxiety. It's a cellular anxiety, you'll say to yourself, I don't have anything to be anxious about. But it's actually your body saying, I don't have enough water to make the brain connection. I don't have enough water to have the viscosity in the eyes or anything else. I am not functioning at my peak because I don't have the water to do so, and you're primarily water, darlings. So water is a really big part of it. By the way, the tea you see me drinking, which I love, is only in the morning because that isn't water. Nothing's water except water. Fizzy water isn't water. Do I enjoy it? I love it. It's a special thing for me, but water is water. You can put some lemon in it if you want. You can put some stevia to make lemonade. That's still water, but that's about the only thing that's still water. So you're either, if you're dehydrated, going to be anxious, or you're going to be creative. There are different uses of energy, and your body transcends the creativity and says, no, I'm in jeopardy here. I need you to pay attention and drink water, right? Guys, sometimes we sleep, and sometimes we don't sleep. I did a show a while back on the different kinds of rest we need. So if you lack physical rest, that doesn't mean that you're not creative the next day. Sometimes those are my most creative states. He doesn't think so, but it's true. Because I'm resting in other areas of my life. I think that it's really important to get up from your desk when you're writing after a while, you know, when you all of a sudden go, I don't have a decision to make here, or I don't have an idea in my head. And you go get a good cup of tea or a good cup of coffee, or you go and eat something, most all writers I know gain a little weight when we're working on a new book. I don't know why. It's because our trek is to the refrigerator, huh? Get up. Go do something. Now, I'm also actually going to give you a piece of information that is great. This piece of information will help you tremendously. I recommend to everybody that you go and buy the original Brain Gym, J-Y-M, book. It's called Brain Gym. It is about turning on both hemispheres of the brain, because you're not going to do whatever the creative solution is with one hemisphere. Right? The left hemisphere pretty much controls things like language. It controls, I should have actually done my research on this, but it controls linear thinking. It controls things like that, right? And the right side of the brain controls the creativity and the thinking out of the box. You need both of them. So these Brain Gym exercises, do exercises where I'm thinking of just one simple one. There are never anything very complicated. But for example, one of them is to stand up and to march in place. And when you raise your left knee, you touch it with your right hand. When you raise your right knee, you touch it with your left hand. And you just go back and forth. It crosses the line. It's turning on, believe it or not, the both hemispheres of the brain. I always do that, and I recommend that for other people to do. You don't create something by not using the whole brain activity, and it also serves you because it's going to raise your physical energy and turn on your cells, so you're in a more creative state. Yes, logical and linear, as Becky just said, that's the left hemisphere. However, here's the thing. There's a logic, an emotional logic, to the right brain, too. So here's another way we're saying, wow, things are different. We need to be more precise in our language. Because, Becky, you're absolutely right. That's what all the information on the Internet says. But here's the thing. The left brain has one thought, logical thought following another. The right brain has one emotion following another. One emotion triggers the other. You need both for the creative experience. Good. She says, I always try to engage the whole brain with students. Yes, this Brain Gym thing is fantastic to do with a class. I'm telling you. It's unbelievable to do with children. It's fabulous. I wish I'd thought of it myself, but I didn't. But there's a whole series of these books. Really? Honestly, you only need the first one because you're looking at trying to pull out some exercises. I use five. I think that were in that original book, and I have them in a certain order, and man, does that turn you on and turn my classes on. Those are all the ones I need to accomplish the creativity and get everybody in that state, including me. Okay. She says she loves the Brain Gym, so she knows about it. Good. You can get it on Amazon, guys. Tiny little book, fabulous book. Really important to do before you go into a meeting, before you give a business speech, before you do anything. Turn yourself on and go in there and be marvelous. The thing is that you'll have real high energy, and that's really important. We want you in that peak performance energy, which is a high level of energy with all the nerves and anxiety removed. If you want to hear more about it, the IT series that you can download from my website. The whole thing is to get yourself in that great place. But then you've got to train the cells of your body to hold it there. And that's what the IT series is going to tell you. It's going to give you an exercise that you do for 2.5, 2, or 3 months, and all of a sudden you are past all your survival skills. What's a survival skill? See, your body, here's a survival skill. Your body brings your energy down if your cells aren't trained to hold it there in a peak performance state. Because It doesn't know that tomorrow is not going to be a famine, and you might need that energy, you see? So we are programmed, and rightly so, to pull our energy down. Now, what I'm presenting and what the series tells you is how to create your energy so that you can hold it there in the peak performance state and turn it on and off anytime you want. All right? You get a lot of theater training because I learned this in the theater. It was all really a powerful thing to learn, too. Most good performers know how to do that. So why don't you be one? Okay, moving right along. Oh, 19 minutes, gosh, so much to say, right? Number 5, Dan Klein puts forth, absorb a diverse array of influence, including those not related to your field. Absolutely. That's what I'm saying, guys. It's fine to read mostly murder mysteries, like I do, because that's what I write. But that doesn't mean I don't read other things as well. That doesn't mean I don't input from all of life. That doesn't mean I don't hear people's stories that I probably will never use aspects of them. But I'm still inputting. And that's extremely important. Also, here's something else that helped me tremendously. I didn't even know it was going to help me that much. But I took a course. I took a sculpture course a number of years ago. Now, I'm not changing fields. I'm not going to be a sculptor. I did quite a nice sculpture, by the way. I always kind of knew I could do that. But here's what's so interesting. It was mind-blowing because I had an acting school at the time, and I was very involved in that and in directing theater and film and, you know, my career. Okay. I took this sculpture course, and I realized that with one swipe of a palette knife, I could create an emotional thing that I would have spent an hour or two talking about with an actor. All the emotional levels of that. Whew. There it was. It was pretty mind-blowing. And I realized at the end of that course, because there were a lot of things that course taught me, but at the end of that course, I realized just what he's saying, that it's powerful to step out of your field into a like field and not have any expectations about it and see what you learn. I went back and became a better coach than I'd ever been because of that experience. You see? Pretty exciting stuff. He goes on to say that when you're involved with a myriad of things, you're able to become truly creative. These are all things, you know, you don't realize, and I'm only speaking as a writer, but this works right across the field with any creative endeavor. When you're in the energy of the creative experience, you have no idea the thoughts that are going to come to you, but they're all things that you read or that you experienced or what you saw as a child or what you saw 5 minutes ago. Things stick in your mind that all of a sudden come out. It's very exciting. The creative experience itself is the creative experience itself. It feeds itself. All of a sudden, things are coming up that you have long since forgotten. But here they come because they've always been stored inside of you somewhere. They're in your cells. Not necessarily in your brain. And here they come. The brain is fantastic. I remember being in France one time, and my first husband left his wallet in a taxi cab, but we didn't realize it until we got to the restaurant, and we were in the middle of the meal, and all of a sudden he goes, ah! And I hadn't talked French in a long time. All of a sudden, I found myself conversing with the owner of the restaurant in France, and remembering what the word was for a wallet. Really? I couldn't tell you now what it was, but it just popped out of my brain from my old classes 30 years before, and this dear man got on the phone and called the cab company. We never got the wallet back, but it was a nice gesture. Something that happened to my dad. My dad had Alzheimer's. And he never, ever played the piano in his whole life, right? And I would go to his assisted living community and his memory ward, and I walked in, and everybody for months would say, oh, my God, your dad entertained us so much. He plays piano so beautifully. It's wonderful. It's like, who is this guy, right? So one day I was over there, and I said, Dad, everybody's telling me you're playing the piano. Do you mind playing the piano for me? And he sat down, and he went from song to song to song, playing everything, left hand matching the right hand, didn't miss a note. And it was real cute. He played about five or six things, and then all of a sudden he got real quiet, hands still on the keyboard, and he said, and let me see if I can bring this out of the darkness. And he played Bye Bye Blackbird. And I was mind blown. Absolutely mind blown. I'd never heard him play the piano in my life. My uncle, my mother's brother, was a concert pianist. I guess Dad was always intimidated by him. He never let himself do it. He was a great pianist. Who knew? And so this man could contact the flow state even if he had Alzheimer's. Now, for God's sake, what's stopping us? Don't let yourself stop. You're the only one stopping yourself. Becky says, that's incredible that he played the piano. Our dad started speaking Korean in his final year at a nursing home. We too were mind blown. Guys, it's all in you right now. These dear people are showing you. Not even Alzheimer's can stop you. For God's sake, get beyond your issues and go into this area where true freedom lies. And that's where you add value to your life. Even if nobody sees what I write, it has enhanced my life. It has been the full expression of self, and it's made me very happy. It will make you that way, too. Thank you, Michelle. She says, fascinating. Absolutely, guys. What are we doing? You know, I said earlier that I thought that creativity was seeing old things in new ways. I'll tell you an exercise right now that I love. Here's an exercise, and it's a wonderful way to kind of draw you out of the box. You see what this is? It's a pen, right? Well, when is a pen not a pen? Come up with 10 ways a pen is not a pen. First of all, it could be a murder weapon. Second of all, it could put your hair in a bun and hold it there, right? What else could it do? I could unscrew it and use it as a tube to do a tracheotomy, not that I would ever do that, on someone to help them breathe better. When is a pen not a pen? That's a great exercise. When is a ball not a ball? I gave a ball, kind of a deflated ball, to an acting class one time, and I thought it was so cute because this young man did a whole scene going boom, 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 and declaring his love for a woman, or actually trying to hide that he loved her so much. Isn't that cute? When is a pen not a pen? When a glass is not glasses? When's a computer not a computer? When's a cup not a cup? Great exercise for you all to have some fun. You know, travel's also a really good way to do this. 10 minutes. You can tell this is one of my favorite subjects, creativity. Right? All right, number six. He says, for heaven's sakes, relax. I think so, too. Relax. You're not going to be creative in the way you think creativity works every hour of every day. But you can play in creative arenas every hour of every day by inputting, by observing, by traveling, by, you know. Creativity is not something you can force, okay? It is something you can block. And most of us do, because we take the energy of creativity and we do other things with it, like protecting ourselves, right? Why? You're already safe. And the creative arena is where you're never right or wrong. You're just, it is just the creative experience. I had a very sweet man. He was a great mentor to me in the theater. He's dead now. His name was Mel Glass. I'll tell you who he was because you know who he was. If any of you ever saw the old commercial, I can't believe I ate the whole thing, which was Alka-Seltzer, the original Alka-Seltzer commercial of this big man sitting beside the bed going, I can't believe I ate the whole thing. That was Mel. He had quite a distinguished career in his time on Broadway. And then he ended up in Atlanta, and we became good friends, and he was a good mentor to me. And he was really cute one day because I'd had big success with something. I think it was Molly Brown or something I was doing. And, you know, the reviews were all good, right? And he gave me a bit of life advice, too, that was incredible. He said, well, if you believe the good reviews, you have to believe the bad reviews, too. And his point was, don't believe any reviews. Just do the best you can in the moment. That's all the creativity is about. Not what other people think about you. Not what you think they're going to think about you. It's about bringing forth the truth in the moment according to you and expressing it and being authentic with it. And sometimes not even knowing where you're going with it. A joy. Yeah. We have 8 minutes. Oh! Well, that was not what I meant to do at all. 8 minutes. Let's see if I can bring that back. Yeah, here we go. I tell you, me and technology, huh? And I've gotten a new keyboard because my other one went kaflunk at one point. And it is so sensitive. I move. Sometimes I think I'll just have an idea or think of something and it goes, you know, it's just crazy. Anyway, this article goes on to talk about increasing creativity on specific projects. And one of his ideas, which I wholeheartedly agree with, is experiment freely. When you're in the flow state, it's just about expressing yourself freely. It's about experimenting and discovering. It's actually not about running to an outcome. It's not about success or failing. It's just about creating. It's just about doing. Jay says, I just translated S-H-T-F. By the way, the F, I think, stands for fan. So if that gives you an idea of what Jay was saying. he said creativity is going to be important for survival and existence itself. I actually do think so. I was told the other day to run this course on creativity because everybody needs to be more adaptable and flexible in this world and as the world is now. Guys, those are going to be highly prized commodities, adaptability and flexibility. So that kind of shoots functional fixedness right out of the water. Our mindset that will grasp around something and can't see anything else. I think it's the time to exercise creativity because we got to break up those mindsets. And I'm going to be talking about how to do that, okay? I'm going to give you other exercises, just like when's a pen, that we can talk about this week and next. But this becomes an adventure in learning. There's no such thing as failing because you learn from each adventure. And let me tell you, there is no adventure like the creative adventure in any field you decide to be creative in. Okay? It's endless. It's ever deepening, just like the experience of consciousness. It is consciousness. I'm just taking another approach, which is the creative one to it. Do you understand? That's why people that would come into my acting classes and the actors I still work with from time to time will say, holy Moses, I just had 40 years of therapy in these 2 hours. Because creativity is about going beyond your limitations. It's about thinking out of the box. It's about exercising yourself out of the box. Wow. Really? It's about breaking the rules. I'll give you an experimenting freely that I do with my class. On the first day of my creative class that I was teaching, this advanced class, I said, okay, I hope I'm not going to offend anybody, but in my background, all words are God. Everything is God. It's just God in low degrees or in high degrees. That's really all it's about. Everything in life. All right? I can take that pen and write the next great American novel, or I can stab somebody with it. There's that duality we have to everything in all of life, right? Okay. So I said, all right, all of you grew up to be good little boys and girls. It's part of our fixedness. So I want you to write the word you, dot, dot, dot. And I want you to use every single solitary, vicious cuss word you can imagine. I want you to talk about four-letter words you've never been allowed to use. I want you to give yourself permission now to use them all and to write a little paragraph, you instead of you dirty rat, you and all of those horrible words that you were never allowed to say. Say them now. And I gave everybody 2 minutes to write it, and they wrote it. And I said, now read it to the class. And everybody read it out. And I said, great, you just broke a big barrier of being a good little boy and a good little girl. Everybody felt so free. Everybody laughed. You see, all cuss words are for. Do you realize when you're cussing and using words like that, if you allow yourself to do it, you're releasing energy. That's all it is. So everybody felt free. They released all the silly energy. And they broke through a barrier. Ooh, yeah, my mama wouldn't have let me do that. Yeah, really? We'll do it. So we had a good laugh, and we moved on to other exercises. Simple creative exercises for next week, feedback for next week. I think it's great, Jay, that you asked that. Do a pen is not a pen. Do the exercise of curse words. Get real creative with it. Say them out loud. Read your paragraph and just laugh, okay? All right? There are other things, but this is a creative experience. This is the creativity, and we're going to have more, many more exercises to come, but let's get these points across first, because if there's one thing that I've always seen, and that is nobody's going to go there if they don't know the advantages of going there. You see? So, that's the reason. Oops, that's the reason I'm starting where I do. Don't judge anything. Experiment. Discover. Learn. You know, keep the mind open as possible. We're going to give you exercises that will help you break through. The two I just gave you will help you break through. Have fun, okay? This is discovering who you are authentically. I'm going to stop there. Yeah, or next week. Guys, thank you so much for listening in. I appreciate it with all my heart. And thank you for getting the word out about these shows through social media, word of mouth, and any other way you can do it. We sure do appreciate it. And ask people to listen in. I hope that we are reaching people and certainly expanding the conscious community. I love you all. Be careful. Be healthy. Be safe. Expand the mind. Have fun. Okay? God bless all of you. You're here for a reason. Your reason is in the authenticity of who you really are. And you have no idea sometimes what to bring to the table until you're at the table. Okay. Take care. Thank you. Thank you, darling. All of you, have a great week. Jay just wishes all of you love. Take care. Bye-bye.